Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome back to Blush Podcast, where we talk books, passion, pleasure, and everything that makes you, well, blush. And today, we're turning up the heat with a special guest who knows exactly how to write desire that lingers long after the last page. Author L. Clara joins us today to talk about her latest book, her newest audiobook release, her character's deepest cravings, and the art of writing intimacy that feels real. So get comfortable, pour yourself something smooth, and let's slip into this conversation. This episode might just leave you blushing.
Hello, we are back here again. Ta-da. We're going to talk about our drinks. Brandon, I saw what you were drinking. It's a shock.
It's not that, actually.
It's not? Oh, you have something different? Okay.
It is. So actually, it's a little extra spice. So it's actually a strawberry lemonade from Dutch Bros. However, it has a little bit of tequila in it. So it's really good. But they didn't give me a whole lot of strawberries today, so I'm a little salty about that. Dutch Bros do better. It is a swallow fucking guzzle.
Okay.
Like, if I guzzle it now, which I want to, I will be on the floor in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, so let's not do that. Let's have some form of coherent conversation, at least for a little bit.
I'm giving you 30 minutes, yeah. Okay?
Okay, so I have Ironside Pinot Noir, and I don't know. It was just, there's no reason why I picked this one. It was just in my wine rack.
Wow, that's fair.
Yeah, let's say if it says, oh, this is kind of, okay. If you're on a mission for drop-dead Pinot Noir, you've found it. Da, da, da. Don't get fooled by the runaround from other Pinot. If you're looking for the Pinot of your dreams, geez, they are pretty confident in themselves. If you're looking for the Pinot of your dreams right now, don't wait. Fresh and full-bodied, it's the best of both worlds. Mix in generous flavors of black cherries and sweet spice, and now you've got it made. It may even be love we're talking about. So jump up, grab a bottle, and get ready to dance the night away.
Oh,
that's pretty.
Can I hire them to write my next blurb?
Yeah, I know.
Right?
That was fancy. Okay, so we're going to, and like, it is a really like classically Pinot color. Very pretty. Mm.
Woo. I love your noises.
You think, swirl it. Oh, it does smell really good. It smells like black cherries. Surprise.
That's always good.
Yeah. Always good. And maybe a little vanilla, too. And the, like, the spicy in there, too.
Mm.
Mm. Oh, that spice hits, like, right on the sides at the end. Mm. It is. It's like a black cherry, tiny bit of vanilla, maybe some tobacco. And then it's got a little spice kick at the end. That's
good. Sounds
good. Mm-hmm. It's delightful. That's a swallow for sure.
Mm-hmm. We like swallows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So Brandon and I are here with L. Clara, and she has been writing off and on since she was young, and it started with poetry and then grew into stories and then has since evolved into publishing romance novels. Hooray! She works full-time and has a wild child who keeps her on her toes along with her loving spouse. And if you haven't been able to tell from her writing, coffee plays a big part in her world. She loves all things smut, like dark romance, contemporary, and she recently started reading paranormal. And if you ask her favorite book, she'll give you an earful about how Jackson Holt is the ultimate book boyfriend. So yeah. Let's start in on that. Like, I want to hear your diatribe about Jackson Holt.
no one could ever say anything bad about him. I am obsessed with that man. So the story behind that is the author, Sarah Hurst, actually reached out to me in a DM when I was still reviewing books, not actually writing, but not publishing. She was getting ready to release that, and I was way far behind on the arcs that I had. And she said, whenever you can, just read it, post something. Okay, fantastic. I have been in her DMs every single day since because I'm obsessed and I need more of that man. And anytime that he pops into one of her stories, I go absolutely gaga. That he is just a reformed playboy, golden retriever for one woman and one woman only. He's just perfection.
Aw, I'd love it.
Love that.
Yeah. So I guess I should have said, welcome. Thanks for joining us. I should have done that first, but I really wanted to hear you fangirl. But yeah, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah.
So what can you tell us about the Unexpected series and then the rest of your books as well?
So the Unexpected Match is the most popular in that series, and it's the first book, which is also an audio, which is done partially by my lovely friend Brandon here and Grayson Owen. It follows Hadley and her asshole of a husband who forces her into an open marriage, and then she ends up with his Irish boss.
I mean, you say Irish, and that's just... That's all you need to say for
sold,
me.
Yes. Immediately sold.
Yep.
And then the rest of the books follow her friends that you meet in that first book. And the last one that I'm working on right now actually follows Connor's sister.
Mm-hmm. I can't. That one, I'm just like, I love Alana. She is so fun. And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see, I was like, I'm just going to pick a book to read so I have it all like fresh. So I was like, I'm going to do Ludovico.
Yep. Ludovico's Vendetta.
Yeah. Because I was like, ooh, it's a Rapunzel sort of, you know, anyway, the whole child sequestered away, whatever, for her whole life, the whole thing. So that's the one that I was like in top of my mind.
It was the first two sentences, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. Tell everybody what the sentences are, so if they don't know.
Nothing can prepare you for the moment you find your fiancé in bed with your grandfather. To see the man who you have spent your entire life emulating falls deep in the woman you have sworn your life, heart, and allegiance to.
Yep. I was like, I'm gonna like this one.
He tripped and her dick, or hit, whoa.
Her dick.
That went in a different direction. Maybe. I mean, I'm not gonna yuck anybody's yum, but... Mm-hmm. He tripped and his dick fell inside her. Wow. That. Mm-hmm. What initially sparked your interest in romance and what drew you to the specific type of romance?
I've always liked the cheesy Hallmark films. And then when I was mid-20s, I think. No, early-20s when Twilight came out. And that was one of the first romance-ish books that I read.
Please tell me it wasn't Twilight. Was it Twilight?
That's what she said. She just said it was Twilight.
Yeah,
it was Twilight.
One of the first romance books that
always
I read was
fucking Twilight.
And then from there, of course, it went to 50 Shades. And that's what really intrigued me into smut. And I didn't really read much after that until 2020 is when I really got back into it. And I think it was Lena Hendricks who was my first somewhat spicy author, and then I went to Sadie Kincaid and I never looked back. That woman can write spice. But as far as the type of romance, I'm a mood reader, so I will read whatever sounds good. And I actually recently read my first monster romance.
Mm-hmm.
And I blame Lauren Beck for that because she narrated it and she said, I was asking her which one of her books to listen to next and she said to listen to this one. I was like, now I need to read the entire series.
Now you got to read it all.
Yep. Yep.
So.
Did you know that, so 50 Shades of Grey, before it became that, was actually a fan fiction based on a Twilight character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when everyone was like freaking out about 50 Shades and I was like, okay, I'll read this, you know, I'll see what's up. And then I was like, this is fucking awful. Like, it's not good. I was so mad about everything. And I was, first of all, BDSM stuff is not correct. But besides that, I was like, why are all these characters stupid. What's going on? And then I learned that it was Twilight fanfic, and I was like, it makes so much sense now.
Yeah,
seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and inner yeah. goddess thing. I wanted to throat punch so many times. Thank God we're not on TikTok Live, because I know we would get kicked off of that. But I hated it. And I fun traumatizing fact: I was forced to go see the movie with my mother. So I was
just gave me really bad goosebumps. No.
I was like, okay, if I do this for you, because she didn't want to go by herself. And where we were living at the time, she didn't know anybody else to go with them. So I was like, okay, if I do this for you, then you are, one, buying me lunch, and two, you're paying for the tickets, because I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So she did. We get there, and it's my mom, me, and some random man.
The only people in the theater?
No.
Oh, like, I was like,
but like, it was him and a female partner was there with him. Why can't she sit next to me? I don't
know. The
you
guy is sitting next to you, so it's like your mom and then you and then rando guy.
Yeah. Mm. So I've never gotten over that.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
To be a topic in my next therapy session.
Have you watched all of them?
Have, but not with her. I refuse to be anywhere.
Now it's a tradition. We got to watch them all together.
I watched the first one and I was like, nope, we're done.
I didn't watch. Well, I read the books because people were like, oh my God. And then I was like, maybe I should read the second one to see if it annoys me less. And then I figured out it was Twilight, and I was like, that makes sense. But then, of course, I was like, well, now I have to finish it to see all of the connections and be pissed about it. You know, like I do.
The inner goddess thing, though, you are so right. That drove me insane. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't give a fuck about your stupid... like, nobody cares.
I was so terrified that they were going to bring that out in the movies. And I was like, if they do... Why? Yeah. Gross.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
I'm glad I'm not alone in that feeling.
Mm-mm.
No, was icky.
So what led you to decide to start writing?
So I had actually started writing back in 2012, 2013 again. And I had actually started writing the beginning of a romance novel. And I was really into it, and the person that I was with at the time made me feel really bad about what I was writing, and I stopped. And then once 2020 hit and I started to read as much as I had been, I decided to try writing again, and slowly things were coming out. And then I had the idea for my first book, Endgame, and that was because every time I tried to look for something for a single mom romance, I was only finding single dad stuff. Mm-hmm, and I know there's a lot of single mom stuff, but not as much as single dad. So I was like, you know what? I have this idea in my head. Why not? And then as soon as I started writing, everything else just spiraled. And my to-be-written list is longer than my to-be-read list at this point.
That's awesome. I like it.
What is your favorite part about your writing process?
Having arguments with the characters.
Yeah.
For Killer in Our Pocket specifically, I had the plot lined to a T, like what was supposed to happen. And it didn't go that way, because as soon as the three characters got together, they would not stop fucking. And I
support that.
Uh-huh.
It was not supposed to just be spicy. There was supposed to be more story behind it, and they didn't want that to happen. So, yeah, that's...
I love it.
I enjoy arguing with them.
Do you do it out loud? Is it all in your head? Or are you sitting there yelling at nothing? You know what I mean? Like, do you talk to yourself when you're arguing with characters? Or is it all just like how you write?
If I am by myself, I will yell out loud. But if my husband is here, he judges me enough, I keep it quiet.
That's fair.
Yeah, I talk to myself a lot when I'm working on stuff, and I'll just be like, what the fuck is going on? Or like, good job, Kelly. And so I could just imagine you yelling at your characters.
Get off of each other. Jesus. Yeah.
Just stop fucking for 1 second. How do you come up with the ideas for your stories?
So The Unexpected Match is actually I was scrolling TikTok and one of those Reddit stories popped up, mm-hmm. and it just spiraled into the story that came out on paper. It was different from what happened because, from what I recall, they weren't Irish, and that's not how anything really went down. But that one was all because of TikTok. And then as I was writing, I had the ideas for Ryan and then Kat. Actually, for the end of Kat's first book, I had that written before I had any of the beginning written, because I knew how that book was going to go. And then for Killer in Our Pocket, that one started off as what was supposed to be a shared world, and then it didn't end up that way. We ended up going separate ways, and it turned into a human trafficking story with way too much spice.
I don't know if you can ever have too much spice. Can you really?
I mean,
I don't know. I mean, sometimes, yeah, if there's maybe, like, nothing there, but I think you're fine. I think it's fine.
for Pumpkin Spice, I love how that story came to me. I was scrolling through Facebook, as one does, and I saw the cover designer who did the cover for the Unexpected series. She had popped up, and it was this cover. It was a pre-made cover that she had done. It was for sale. And I was like, that is so cute. I love pumpkin coffee. There's no way I could write a Hallmark-esque book at all. There's no way. So I keep moving. A week later, it pops up again, and it's still for sale. It's like, I sent it to my friend. I was like, tell me not to do this. Tell me not to buy this cover. There's no way I could do it. She's like, I can't tell you that because it's too cute. So I bought it, and I had the book written within 2 weeks because, like, as soon as I hit, send payment, the idea for the story came to me. And I love that story so much because I was able to include my dogs that passed away in it.
Aww.
And yeah, so that one is my love letter to Pumpkin Spice Coffee and Animal Rescue, which is how I found my Haley Bob.
I love it.
Okay. If you were going to have a movie made, who would be the actors you would pick for each character? Or at least the main characters.
For which book?
For which book, yeah, because that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The Unexpected series, yeah. Let's do that one.
Okay, so it doesn't work now, but I had envisioned, like, Richard Gere in Pretty Woman for uh-huh. Connor.
Brandon's like,
What? No.
You're so cute.
Shut up. No, I'm not.
But for Hadley, I don't know.
Hard question.
It really is a hard question. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, and knock on wood that hopefully it happens one day, but I had said to my friends, because I am extra, and you and I have had this conversation, Brandon, but if that series were ever made into a movie, or if any of my books were made into a movie, because I am an audio girly and they would be made into audio first, I would want those narrators to make an appearance in the movie just as an Easter egg. Because
that
I think
would
that
be
would
be so cool.
Cool.
That would be amazing.
That would be really cool.
It would be.
Yeah. Just like they're like in the background at a restaurant or something. Yeah. Like, yeah.
But Grayson and I would be fucking around laughing at a table somewhere. That would be awesome.
That's really cool. I like that. So Pretty Woman era Richard Gere, but with an Irish accent. I'm not mad about it.
Yeah. And for Kat, I like Kat Dennings.
Oh, I love
her. Because she's
yeah.
cute, but also she's got the pillows that Ryan likes to talk about. I'm really struggling with who I would see as Hadley, though.
Hadley is a tough one.
Maybe Bethany Lenz from One Tree Hill.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just like how Brandon's like,
No,
do you have somebody in mind, Brandon, for her?
She is the hard one. I was thinking about, I'm like, she was a hard one for me. That's what he said. But nobody felt right, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's
really, there's something so specific about her. And that's why when I heard you, I just fell in love with you for her, because you brought something to that character and her voice that I don't think anyone else could have done.
Thank you.
Aw. Brandon's the best.
Oh, stop. No, I'm really
you
not.
Are. She's very good at what she does. That's what she said.
I don't take compliments well.
I know you don't. I'm trying to get you to learn how to take. I am just shut up and take it, bitch. And then I'll say, Brandon, if you accept this compliment, then you're a good girl.
You know what? Fuck you. Fuck you so hard right now. I'm trying. I am trying to learn to just shut up and take it. But it's hard. Like, okay, not, no. But it's.
Mm-hmm. But no matter what way you go, it's going to be dirty.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. God damn it. I'm trying. I am really trying. Some things I can. Other things I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
No, like, I remember when you had asked me about doing the snippet for Human Voices Only, and I was just like, hell yeah, I do it. And the clip you had sent me, I remember being like, oh, this is fun, and kind of wanted to put my own spin on her, but, like, still have her be authentic. And she didn't come out the way I expected her to, because I recorded it a few times, and the one that I gave you, I was just like, this feels true to her. But yeah, she's a tough character because there's a level of vulnerability that is really hard to talk about. And you nailed it so well in the way that you wrote it and her development and throughout the story. And that's something I always like to point out that I really appreciate as somebody that has had their own challenges with their mental health and has worked in mental health. It's such a important thing to talk about, and yet it is stigmatized so much. And mm-hmm. I feel like the more we can talk about it in different medias, that the more normalized, I don't want to say normalized, but talking about it, talking about our struggles will become okay.
Yeah. The less, like the less other it would seem, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And also, we talk about this a lot. Anybody who has, you know, mental health struggles, it's always helpful to see, oh, I'm not the only one who feels like this or who is going through this. There's someone else like this. And that, I also really like that in the Ludovico's Vengeance book, like Nina going through her thought processes with like being completely isolated for her entire life and then like thrown into, you know, having a ton of people around. And like even when she's like, I can't go to, you know, I can't go out and go shopping without freaking out or whatever, you know, like, I think you handled her entire mental fragility really well.
Yeah.
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 I agree. Mm-hmm. If your readers could take anything away from your books, what would you want it to be?
I think with the mental health aspect specifically, don't be afraid to ask for help. If we're talking about the spice, then hopefully a fresh set of batteries.
That's fair.
That's good. That's good. It's a good answer. Good answer. I feel like I'm on Family Feud. Like, good answer. Good answer.
What's your favorite thing to drink or snack on while you're writing?
Coffee. It's good. I found, so I hadn't been able to drink coffee for a really long time since my pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
I got super sick anytime that coffee came up, unless it was specifically Dunkin' Donuts pumpkin coffee. Don't know why, but I love pumpkin coffee anyway, so I wasn't mad at it, except for the fact that it was only seasonal.
Yeah.
Well, recently, one of my friends, Ashley, found a pumpkin coffee from Bones Coffee Company,
mm-hmm.
and it is the Pumpkin King Coffee. It's pumpkin, pecan, and caramel is the blend. And it's sugar-free. And it is phenomenal.
I drink
it like water. And they also now have, for the season, it is a frosted pumpkin roll coffee. So I just got that, and I'm going to try that tomorrow.
Okay, let me know how you like that. Okay, if you had to pick one of your characters to fuck, marry, and kill, who would they be? Well, we know who we'd kill, but, like, who else?
Character, yeah, we're definitely killing Andy.
Yes.
I want to say I would fuck Pocket because she is wild, and marry Giovanni, I think, from Ludovico's Vengeance.
I like him.
Yeah.
He's great. He's all right. He's all right. As I'm like,
He was great. He's all right.
He's all right. No, he's good. I like his, he's very much like, you know, a terrible person to everyone but her, you know? Uh-huh. And then he's like so infatuated with her. I love it.
Okay. Explain the moose.
So in Endgame, there is a 5-year-old little boy, Kaylee's son, who cannot say monogamous for anything. He says monomous. And since then, my editor for that, Nikki, she had said, it's giving Friends Eats Her Lobster. And since then, the moose has just been everywhere. And it has become basically my entire personality.
I love it, though. It is so cute. Yeah. And like how it's in your different stories. I love it.
Yeah. So it transcended into the Unexpected series because I wasn't ready to say goodbye to Kaylee and Liam. And so that is how Connor becomes Hadley's moose.
So cute.
That's so cute. It is very like she's his lobster. Yeah. So you have a full time like day job, civilian job.
Why the quotes? Why the quotes? No,
because I don't want to call it day job. Well, because writing's a job too. Whatever. So you have a civilian job, a real world job, whatever. I always think it's weird because I don't want it to sound like I'm lessening the importance of the writer.
So you have another job aside from being an
author. So you have a full time other job. You have your writing. And you have a small child. How do you balance all of that?
My husband is incredible with my son, though. I do work from home, though, so it makes it easier. If I have any time between work, I can just spin around and write for a little bit. But usually on the weekends or in the evenings, I will sit down and write after he goes to sleep. But no, my husband is amazing with our son. He will give me time to write. And especially on the weekends, if he wakes up, he'll take care of him so I can continue what I'm doing at night.
That's great.
That's awesome.
I think it is really important to have a supportive partner if you're going to be like taking on all these endeavors, because it would just be so much more difficult if that person was giving you a hard time. Yep. It's important to have a partner who is supportive. I guess I should say, I don't want it to sound like if you're going to do something like this, you need to have a partner.
Right.
It's
it does help.
A partner who is supportive is way more beneficial than someone who's just like, I'm just there.
Yeah.
Either who gives you a hard time for it or who is just indifferent.
Yeah. Or tries to sabotage it.
Yes. It makes a lot of difference. So,
Yeah. Have you ever written about somebody in your real life as a character, whether it was somebody that got unalived or somebody that maybe had airborne gonorrhea, anybody from real life that you've ever written into your books?
Absolutely.
And can we know who?
Not necessarily the person, but like who the character is.
Oh, no, I want to know the person. I want to know the person.
Yeah. Well,
so,
I mean that too, but
I have been asked, and I love to share this because it is extremely comical and she doesn't care that I share it. But my friend asked me to, because I had asked if anybody wanted me to write someone in for Pocket to Kill, because why not? She likes to unalive people and let's do it. She told me to put her baby daddy in. Just gave me a name, nothing else. And so I put him in there and tell me how I got his description perfect. And I've never seen him before in my life. And it was poetic.
Where is the sign up sheet? I would like to add some names.
We have some people we could add to this.
Right. Absolutely. Just send me.
Yeah. We'll send you like a headshot. We'll send you a whole bio. Actually, it would be kind of fun to like just give you minimal information like that and see how accurate it is.
She would know mine though, because I've talked about mine before.
Yeah, okay, well fine.
Even still, he could have like, yeah.
She doesn't know mine.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
What advice would you give to somebody who's thinking of writing their first book? Or not even, maybe not necessarily a book, but just like starting to write in general?
Don't be afraid to take a chance on yourself, because especially if you want to write a book, you could be writing someone's next favorite book.
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it. I love it.
Yeah.
And there's something for everyone, too, you know. So we could play the put a finger down game if you're up for it, Lauren. But then I have a couple other naughty questions that I would like to ask. Are you a booze drinker at all, or are you just coffee?
I drink on occasion. I have chronic migraines, so I try to avoid alcohol as much as I can.
I get migraines
a lot,
too.
If I'm going to drink, I would love a very large triple shot of American honey.
Oh, that's good.
What is that? What is that?
It's like a whiskey, isn't it? It's like a honeyed whiskey.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Also, pickleback shots are 10 out of 10.
Pickleback?
Yes.
What's that?
It's pickled juice. So you do a shot of Jameson followed by pickle juice, and it tastes really good. It sounds terrible, but I did one when I was in Kentucky last year with my friend, because her favorite thing to drink is a pickleback. And I wanted to try it, so I knew what it tasted like, and it is really good.
What does it taste like?
It tastes like a pickle.
I know. So it's like a shot of Jameson with a pickle chaser, pickle juice chaser.
Yes. Doing the shot of Jameson is terrible, but once you do the shot of the pickle juice after, it's the medley of, I don't know how to
describe it. Is it like the vinegar, like calms the burn down or something?
I guess so. It's really good.
So I love pickles, and so does my sister. And it was, I think, Thanksgiving a couple of years ago. We were out buying booze before Thanksgiving, you know, like night before Thanksgiving. And so we're at the liquor store, we're buying all the things. And then I see this giant, like, it looks like a big vat of pickle juice, and it was pickle moonshine. So we tried it because we're like, because we love pickles. Brandon, that's pretty much it. Was we recorded each other tasting it, and it was, I said it tasted like Satan's taint. It was so bad. And like, she, I don't remember what she said, but I think she was like, taint. It's for sure a taint. Like, it was so bad.
After 3 hours at the gym.
Yeah, exactly. And then we give it to my little brother the next day, and he's just like, huh, it was like pickles. And we were like, there's no way you could do that with a straight face. He totally did. I don't recommend that. But like pickle juice in a beverage or something. Okay, not all the beverages. I'm not going to pour pickle juice in my wine. Okay, so do you have anything that you did that was ridiculous or whatever after having too many of these pickleback shots or any other type of imbibing?
When I lived in Jersey, I had gone out with a couple of friends, and thankfully I was not the one driving because I got blackout drunk. I passed out on a set of stairs, and someone asked me to twerk, and I just wiggled on the steps.
You're like, yeah, here it is.
I have no idea.
Please tell me there's a video of that somewhere.
Yeah, I hope there's a video.
There might be.
Look at her face. She's like,
look at her face.
There might be. I'll have to reach out and see if they have it.
I love it.
I wanted to see it. That's good. Your story made me think of this, and it didn't happen to me, but it was a friend of mine. And it was like, you know, everybody's home from college and hanging out at our parents' houses again. And so this group of guys, they all got drunk. And one of my friends was out, like, crawling around in the yard, like, throwing up. And our friend's mom came out and gave him some bread. Like, you need to eat this bread. And he took it and used it like a napkin to, like, wipe his face off and then just, like, threw it away.
Oh, my God.
Like, obviously, this is what the bread is for.
That is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good times. Good times. College. Who is your first celebrity crush?
Male celebrity crush would be Ralph Macchio.
Oh, yeah. As
female.
As Danielson, right?
Yes. Female would be Allison Hannigan as Willow.
Yeah.
I love her. She's great.
Yeah. I liked her character in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. We can do put a finger down now if you're up for it, Lauren.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Let me grab all the cards. I'm going to mix them up so they're not always the same. Okay. So put up 10 fingers. Oh, we're going to start off good here. Okay. All right. Put a finger down if you have been to a sex party. Not a sex toy party.
Does a fetish party count?
Fetish party counts.
Okay.
Put a finger down if you've done it in a hot tub.
Mm-mm. Oh, my God. Okay, so where I live, there's a college. Like, it's the college I went to. And there is a hot tub garden here where it's like you can go and rent the hot tubs.
No.
Yeah. And it's called the Oasis, and everyone's like, ooh, let's go to the Oasis. And I was like, absolutely not, because all the college kids would just rent them by the hour so they could go and fuck. No. Bleh.
There's a reason your eyes burn when you get out of that, and it's not the chlorine.
I've not done it in a hot tub. I've done it in a sauna, but not a hot tub.
Sauna could be slippery. All right. Put a finger down if you like sucking toes.
I wouldn't say I hate it, but it's not like, ooh, yeah, let me do more of that. Like
All right. Put a finger down if you've had a friend help you take sexy pictures of yourself. Yeah, it's all of us. Okay. Put a finger down if you own more than 3 adult toys.
Obviously.
Right. Put a finger down if you've watched porn in VR.
Oh, I haven't done the VR.
I haven't, but I'm super curious about
it. I'm curious, too.
Like,
how does that work? And does it look like...
Like, does it... Yeah, yeah.
Does it look like a real person or does it look like a VR person?
Right.
You know?
Right. I'm curious. If anybody knows, please let us know. Put a finger down if you've faked an orgasm in the past month.
Mm-mm. Not in a month.
Not in a month. Put a finger up. So put a finger up if you've walked in on a family member doing it.
Mm-mm.
Put a finger down if you've ever eaten ass.
I haven't eaten.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah.
Put a finger down if you've seen one of your grandparents.
Wait, what if it's been done to you?
That's not what it asks, Holly.
Okay, fine.
That's a different card. Put a finger down if you've seen one of your grandparents naked.
Uh-uh.
No.
Put a finger down if a couple has asked you to have sex with them.
Brandon.
Shut up.
You don't have your hands up. I'm just keeping you honest.
I forgot what I was at. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
What was I at?
You're probably the same as me.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Oh, no, wait. Except I did one for sex party or fetish party.
I did one for one that you didn't put your finger down for.
Okay.
So I think I'm here.
6? You would be the same. You would be the same as me. And then that one. So now you would be 6. Yeah.
Okay. Put a finger down if you like getting rim jobs.
Oh, there's my card.
I told you it was on there. Not if you've ever had it done, but if you like having it done.
Oh, yeah. I don't dislike it. I think it also depends on the person doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there was a person in my past, I would not even want him to do it.
Put a finger down if you've broken furniture while doing it.
Where's everybody at? I'm at 5 now.
I'm at 6.
I'm at 6.
Okay.
Put a finger down if you like anime porn. I've actually never seen anime porn.
I'll do half. Sometimes I like it and sometimes it's stupid.
I've just never seen it.
Can I do half?
That's what he said.
That's what she said. I've got like a little micropeen thumb right here.
Put a finger up if you've ever gone to third base in the backseat while someone else was driving.
Yep.
Put a finger down if you've hooked up with someone 10 years older than you.
Oh. Younger, yes, but not older.
Put a finger down if you've been caught having sex by a cop.
There was a cop that drove by at one point, but I didn't get caught.
Put a finger down if you've accidentally discovered any of your parents' X-rated accessories. You know how much therapy, how much that costs in therapy? That was a lot.
Okay, I'm at 5. Everybody at 5?
I'm at 5.
I'm
Lauren's
at 4.
At 4. Ooh. Dirty
Put
girl.
A finger down if someone has photographed or painted a nude portrait of you. Well, that's all of us.
Yep. Like your French girls.
Honestly. If it's Leonardo DiCaprio back then, fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Put a finger down if you've helped someone trim, wax, or shave down there. Put a finger down if you've given or received a foot job. Are we all at 2?
Yeah. I'm at 2.
Put a finger down if you've had sex while someone else watched.
I don't think so. Not yet. There might have been other people in the room, but they weren't watching.
Oh, that's fair. Okay. Yeah. Well, this is where Kelly beats us all. Put a finger down if you've 69'd in the past month. Put a finger down if you use lube more often than not.
Depends on what you're doing.
Just in general, Kelly.
No.
Put a finger down if you lost your V card after high school. Put a finger down if you've slept with someone within an hour of meeting them.
It was like 3 hours.
Oh my God, Kelly. Put a finger down if you aren't wearing underwear right now.
I definitely have underwear on.
I need to.
I'm gonna,
too
hot next time, that. Brandon, let's do this podcast with no underwear on.
Oh my God, we totally could. It would be funny as fuck.
It would be really funny. Like no pants, no underwear, nothing. Just
God. Okay. Put a finger down if you had oral sex in a public place.
Oh, Lauren, was that your last one?
Yeah.
Woo! How am I the last one left? Weird.
I'm so sorry you are offended by that.
I know.
Put a finger down if you've hooked up with 2 or more people in the same night.
Oh, 2? Yes.
There you go.
Okay.
That's a good one.
That was like the quickest game of that ever.
Was it?
It was less than 10 minutes that we played that game.
But you and I have told all of our stories.
No, I know, but I'm just saying that everybody was out really fast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're all a bunch of heathens.
Because we're all hoes, like mm-hmm. Lauren called me the other day. We're just mm-hmm. a bunch of hoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd say I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm not.
You're not.
No.
You're not.
It's the best way to be, you know?
You know what's interesting, though? So, okay, and Kelly knows this, but not too long ago, I found I have a praise kink. I didn't know I had that. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But I also have a degradation kink, which I also did not know until recently. And now I'm just like, I don't know what to do with myself. Like,
well, you get degraded and then you get told that you're a good girl for being degraded so well.
Yeah.
That's
but
how
I
that
only want to be, I feel like a black hat because it's like, I want to be degraded, but only in a certain way.
Right.
When I want it, in the way that I want it.
Because you're
otherwise,
a brat also.
I am that. I am that.
Yep.
But I'm also, okay, so we're going to have Lauren take this test. So,
oh my God, yes. Oh.
The sub-dom
the BDSM test? Yeah.
Okay,
have you done it already?
I have, yes.
What are your results?
Or what are
I'm
your results?
What are my goals? I am a switch and I'm equal parts dominant, equal parts submissive. It depends on the partner. And then very bratty. So, yeah.
That's honestly, I'm the same way because I've got 100% brat tamer, switch. Mm-hmm. And then my dom and sub are together. My hunter prey are both right next to each other. Like, mm-hmm. I'm very much
She's,
the same.
Yeah. It's like you have to get down to like 13 or 14 before it's lower than 50% for me. But the top, like 100%, they're like primal prey, rope bunny, submissive. Like, and then I think it's like voyeur. Exhibitionist, and then there's switches up there too. But those, like the top ones, the 3 are like all 100%. And I'm like, Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sub wasn't 100% because I do switch a little bit sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I retook it because I was curious if things had changed since the last time.
Yeah.
And I still had like six of them at 100%. Mm-hmm. I was just like, that's, but they're all conflicting. So I'm like, well, mm-hmm. that's me in a nutshell.
Yeah, I feel like I need mm-hmm. to take it again. It's been a while. Yeah.
I did that too because I had done it the first time like a long time ago, like college. And then I did it again with an interview with another author because she puts her characters through the BDSM test. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So I know, isn't that cool? So then she can figure out what they'd be into, what kind of kinks to do and how to pair them up and stuff. So we did it all together with her. And then I did it again when we were having all of our friends from New Orleans mm-hmm. do it. And I'm the same.
Yeah.
All the way through. Yeah. Yeah, but some people probably changes a little bit, you know?
Probably. I also mm-hmm. think that a lot of people don't consider the fact that you don't do it based on who you're with. Do it based on
yourself,
regardless of mm-hmm. who you're with. Where do you stand? And I think right. that people, they're like, oh, well, in my relationship now, I would do yeah. this. And it's like, no.
And they think about that person would be weirded out by that or that
right.
person would like it. And it's like,
or I wouldn't like that person doing it to me.
Right.
But it's like, but would you like somebody else doing
yeah,
it?
Yeah. You have to put it with a faceless partner, you know?
Yeah.
Just like how you in general. Yeah, I was visiting one of my best friends from high school and I had her and her husband do it. And they were so funny because he was like, do I want to see her in a cage? I don't know. Maybe I do.
That's fair.
And I was like, well, then put maybe on there, you know, like put the yeah. middle part. But it was really funny because they're like, I don't know. Maybe I would like to see you in a compromising position. I don't know, they were funny. I was like, that's how you learn about your kinks. Maybe you guys should get a cage.
Yeah, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting, like, when it came to the test, there are a lot of things I had interest in, but I was like, I don't know how I would actually feel about
mm-hmm.
experiencing those things because all of the,
right.
on one hand, people I've been with are a little more on the vanilla side. Or you have people that, and I know we've talked about this, but and who are like, oh, I'm alpha male. And I'm just like, bitch, sit down.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're definitely not.
You're mm-hmm. not. You're not. You want to think you are. You've got the ego. That's not what it is. Or mm-hmm. think that they're a dom, but they don't understand the aftercare aspect. It's like,
mm-hmm.
just being an asshole doesn't make you dominant. It just makes you an
right.
asshole.
Just makes you an
like,
asshole.
To be a good one, you have to understand the aftercare mm-hmm. parts of it. And
yep.
I feel like that gets left out a lot. So.
I agree. Like, people don't understand that aftercare is an important part of the whole yeah. lifestyle. That and, like, the communication. Like, I always, like, harp on everyone about communication, but that is, like, the biggest part, I think, of having a relationship like that is you need to be able to communicate with each other what you're comfortable with, what you are comfortable with trying, and then feel confident enough to be able to communicate if you're halfway through and you're like, this might not be for me.
Yeah.
You know, and then the aftercare as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything you have found where it's like you didn't realize you were into it or might be into it until you saw something like on TikTok, like those thirst traps on TikTok? Or because mine, I never thought I would be into the whole like snowball thing or having someone spit into my mouth or any of that. And then I was just like, oh, good God, that was really fucking hot. Now I kind of want to try it. But then mm-hmm. I'm like, again, depends on who we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like
they need to not make it stupid.
That.
Because mm-hmm. I also the same thing. I was like, I don't know if I'd be. And then I saw like a video or read something in a book and I was like, oh, wait, yeah. maybe. And yeah. then, yeah, I have experienced it and it's great. But it also has to be with the right person.
I feel like fictional characters pull it off really well.
Mm-hmm.
Real life people, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. So something about me, and when I am at a loss for what to talk about when I meet new people, I have made it a habit, and Brandon was a witness to this, to bring up Girthmaster and the wine bottle.
Yes. This is the first time I'd ever heard of it, too. And I'm like,
that's a great, like, what? Icebreaker or whatever, you know? I love it.
It was a great conversation.
Okay, so for anybody who doesn't know, can you explain what this is?
So Girth Master is an adult performer who has a spicy sight, and he is the same size as a wine bottle.
Apparently.
Where, like, yeah. How?
Well, I bet, like, but it's anything, like, he though. Has, like, OnlyFans, though, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, where you can see that it's, okay.
I don't know. There's got to be a lot of prep behind that. But he also has a toy out that is the duplicate him? Of it. And I really want it just to experience that. I don't know that I would ever try it, but I want it.
Just to have it, like on the shelf or whatever.
So I have this, and that makes me feel inadequate now.
But it seems impossible. That seems impossible, but babies come out of there, you know? So let me put my thumb over it. But like that.
He's very large.
I mean, it's possible, but that doesn't seem enjoyable.
I would just want to smack people in the face with it. That's all I want to do.
Like this,
apparently
like,
it's heavy. Like the real life one and the.
Yeah, I would think so.
Because I've seen pictures of, like, he's laid it on people's face and, like...
They suffocate. Or, like,
where's where to go?
I know.
But, like, there's videos of him laying it on people's face and they're like, it's heavier than I thought.
Yeah. I would imagine it would be heavy, but, I mean, that big has got to be...
Got to be uncomfortable at some point.
Yes,
though, too.
I know. Like I'm trying just thinking to walk about, around, like him trying
big,
to
big tits and doing jumping
right?
jacks.
It's awful. Like, oh my god! Or like when I was
running
dance class, I have to wear 3 sports bras. And trying to find stuff that fits my boobs is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And like, how do you even find just like regular jeans? Aren't gonna, you know? Are there special jeans for?
Have a special pocket.
It's the big dick jeans, you know. Big dick jeans, BDJ. It's my new brand. Only for the Girth Master. Like it's just, I don't know. I feel like it would be, I mean, obviously, he's got it. Like, what else could you do besides have an OnlyFans? You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And it's for the people like fetishize it, obviously. But practicality wise, I feel like it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like I said, babies come out of there. But that's fucking awful also. You know?
Like, I like a big one. So, yeah. Like, I would try it.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't. Where the fuck is it going to go? It's not going to fit in anything that I have.
Or I was thinking, like, you know, like DP, right? Like that's possible.
Yeah.
For some people. And again, there just have to be a lot of prep happening.
Yeah.
Or I've read some, I still am confused about the logistics of this because I've read some books where they have like triple penetration. And I'm like, where does everybody go? And not just like
how are you standing?
Their dicks, like- but like their legs. Oh, you guys can't see that. I'm throwing my leg up.
Part of it.
Yeah. I'm like, where?
She's
where?
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Where do all the dudes' legs go?
Right.
And the rest of their bodies? Like, how do you...
I have figures. I'll figure that out and I'll send you a picture.
Okay. I was going to ask you that, too, with your spicy scenes. Do you have...
Barbies
or figures or whatever where you're like, is this possible? How do we make this work?
Yeah.
Do we have enough holes per appendages?
Mm-hmm.
Math has to be mathing.
Well, there's always enough holes. You just get creative.
Yeah.
But sometimes, depending on how many appendages there are in a room, sometimes there aren't enough holes.
Yeah, like we talked about this, like, let's not put dicks in noses. I mean, that'd have to be a big-time micropene, like,
Right.
Or in your ear, you know. I mean... The main part,
like hands, feet,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Like the in between, like the crevasse, right. The crevasse. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you can't. That's not
no. And I don't. I've experienced a pencil dick before, and no, thank you. That's a hard pass for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thankfully have not had the pleasure. I think one I read was it four guys? Usually it seems to be four guys. I don't know if I've ever read one with five.
I don't know that I have either, actually.
I've narrated one with four, but yeah, not five.
Because it seems to be there's, you know, your mouth, your vag, your butt, and then it's like, you know, they're either in another guy or like the hands or something.
Yeah.
Because you can't really do like the boobs if there's somebody in your mouth. Well, unless you're standing this way, if you're like this.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that would work.
Yeah.
Yes. See, this is where I feel like figurines are important. So well done.
They are.
Because, you know, otherwise I'm sitting there reading it and people describe where they are. And I'm like, I don't think that's possible.
I do that too, where I'm like, hold on. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Is that anatomically possible to do?
And I've read books where, like, an extra hand comes in out of nowhere.
Or they talk about it wrapping around to do something, and I'm like, I don't think you can, even if you're double-jointed, I don't think that's possible. Yeah.
I don't think you can bend that way.
No. That's where the figurines would really come in handy. I would be playing with those all the time.
Honestly.
Do you ever try them out in real life? Any of your sexy scenes?
No. Only because the height difference between my husband and I makes it impossible.
That's fair.
Is it like, are you short and he's tall, or is it the other way around?
Oh, no, he's 7 feet and I'm 5'2". So
he's
like,
7 feet?
Yes. So we're
and
limited.
You're tiny. Oh my gosh. That's like comical. But I mean, you make it work, obviously. But
we do, yes.
Yeah. Dang, do you come up to his waist? Basically.
Oh, it was nipples. Like, at least
yes. Like, so I, because you said that, I'm going to tell you a story about we were fighting one night, and he says to me, why don't you come over here and say that to my nipples, because that is where I come up to.
Yeah.
I could not stop laughing, and it completely fills it out the argument. But yeah.
Well played, though.
Yeah, well played. Because I mean, good that fizzled out the argument.
Right.
That's fucking hilarious. Wow. Can you even do a 69? Does that work or no?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could.
Just have to be like.
Yeah.
Like what? I'm sorry.
Do you like me to show you again?
Oh my god.
That's nice though. Well, okay. I was gonna say that's nice because you can wear super high heels and it's not a big deal. But also, who the fuck cares if you're taller than your dude?
No, I'm into it though. Be the Bruno Mars to my Taylor Swift. Like, please tell me you've seen that picture where it's like he is itty bitty.
Yeah,
she's powered.
Tiny. He's a tiny guy. Yeah,
but it's so cute. And I'm
it's
just
so
like,
cute.
All right, small king, you got this.
Like, right, you could wear like 1 foot tall heels.
Yeah,
and still be shorter than him
by a lot.
Yeah, our son is—he's already up to my chest. And
I was gonna ask like if he was. Ooh, this just came to me. I want to do like a dirty word association. Like, I'll think of a word that might not be a dirty word. And then, Lauren, I want you to come up
foul
with like,
play. No, I'm kidding.
With like a dirty situation for it to apply.
Shawarma.
Okay.
Are you up for that?
Sure. And a dirty situation in which
shawarma is involved.
Is this a book scene that you.
Sure.
They're at an Indian restaurant eating shawarma, and it gets her hot, and she drags him into the bathroom.
Then what does she do to him in the bathroom?
She has diarrhea, and that's lubricant.
Why does the shawarma get her hot? Is it because it's spicy, or is it because she likes how he puts food in his mouth with his fingers? Is it that?
That would be very messy.
It would be very messy. Okay. May I think of another word. Cleaning the bathroom.
I mean, you can make that sexy if she's bent over scrubbing the tub and he walks in and sees her ass up in the air and she's just wearing a pair of booty shorts. And
ooh, yeah.
So much skin is showing that Instaboner.
Yeah, I like it. And then he just like goes at it.
Mm-hmm. All I can think when you were talking, I'm like, plunge me, baby. Like, that's all.
Let's see. What else? What else can we do?
So he's a chef and he's having to squirt sour cream on things. And
okay, you just said squirt. That's not making it unsexy, Brandon.
Okay. He's a chef. He's having to slop sour cream on things. A waitress comes back in and she's like, I need you to slop some more on this for me.
Big and boy.
Slop the sour yes. cream. Let's
do
go.
Do a chef scenario with slapping sour cream.
He makes eye contact with her the entire time he's slopping it on.
Oh, that's and good. Like, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you were going to make a scene with Girthmaster or someone of Girthmaster's girth, how would that go down?
Lots of lube.
Lots of lube.
Yeah.
I know we've joked about like blistered dick, but I feel like that would be blistered
that
vagina.
Would be blistered vagina. Yeah. Not blistered dick. That's blistered vagina.
Sis? Like what? How? How? And how often to be able to take it? Like, I have questions.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like baseball bat. Maybe.
Like, like, what do you use to, like...
Bowling pin. A bowling pin. No? Yes? I think baseball bat, bowling pin.
Wine bottle.
Wine bottle.
I would not put that up there.
I mean, I wouldn't
No. But wouldn't baseball bat or a bowling pin? They're all fucking dirty. So
what
like,
if it's brand new, fresh from the factory?
Put a condom on it.
Yeah. Yeah. A lubricated
you need, like,
condom.
You would need a giant ass balloon. I don't think they make condoms that big.
Yeah. Like even the Magnums. All right. Well, we should probably let you go, Lauren. This was awesome. Thank you so much for chatting with us. I would say thanks for putting up with us, but you know what we're like, so.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you.
Guys, later. Thank you.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be.
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.